This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, dear viewers, to another live episode of Huda Tonight. And I'm your host for the program, Junaid Dar. Dear viewers, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the chance to work for His deen. And I'd also like to thank all the viewers for their continual support and giving us their contributions at the same time. Dear viewers, we have two fantastic discussions prepared for you today. In segment number two, we're going to be discussing the holy month of Rajab. And in segment number three, we're going to look at a particular prophetic narration which talks about the signs of the hypocrite. So tune in for both of those discussions. Coming back to this particular segment, we're talking about the holy month of Ramadan. Sorry, the holy month of Rajab, should I say. This is the seventh month in the Islamic calendar, and it's so holy that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even prohibited any forms of fighting to take place. Not just that, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make continuous dua asking Allah to make this month and the following month a blessed month, and that he would reach the month of Ramadan. But dear viewers, this month is a blessed month, and there are certain practices that one may carry out in order to prepare himself for the holy month of Ramadan. But unfortunately, there are certain practices that have continued to take place over the years which are really not from Islam, but you can give various reasons to why they have been introduced into the deen of Al-Islam. And we want to talk about those matters one by one and trying to make people aware of the true nature of this beautiful month. And the Sheikh we have in the studio, inshallah ta'ala, will be given all the questions to elaborate the virtues of this month. So if I can begin by introducing our Sheikh for the day. We have with us Sheikh Karim Abu Zaid, who works very closely with Huda TV. And you were with us last week as well. We had a fantastic discussion last week talking about negligence and extremism. Sheikh, I'd like to welcome you to the program. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Brother Junaid, dear viewers, I'm happy to be back.
Thank you very much. Also, dear viewers, at this point, I would like to remind you that it is a live program and our phone lines are open. You will see our numbers running across the screen very shortly. Please do call us, give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, anything you have, bring it to us, inshallah ta'ala. The Sheikh is here so he can answer all of your questions. Sheikh, let's begin talking about the blessed month of Rajab. It's described as one of the holy months. What is meant by a holy month?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. First of all, when the month of Rajab reaches us, we should echo the words of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Imam Ahmad compiled the hadith. The chain is a good one. اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان. And I think you hinted to that in your beautiful intro to the show tonight. Oh Allah, bless for us the month of Rajab as well as the month of Sha'ban. And oh Allah, prolong our lives so we get to the month of Ramadan. Okay. So tying the 3 months together is really the password tonight. If we can get the viewers to grasp the essence of the connection amongst those 3 months, I think it would be a successful mission, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay. Answering your question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in a verse in Surah At-Tawbah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم. Indeed, the number of months in a year with Allah, since He created the heavens and the earth, are 12. So there are 12 months in the lunar calendar.
Okay.
Out of those 12 months, there are 4 which are given a particular significance. They are described to be hurum, sacred, holy. Why? First of all, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given these 4 months a certain sanctity above any other month.
Okay.
Number 2, they say because fighting during this month those 4 months is forbidden unless it is initiated by your enemy.
Okay.
So in self-defense, you can fight. But you initiating a fight, that is forbidden in Islam during the 4 months which are sacred.
Okay.
Number three, we're explaining the word why they are hurum. Number three, a sin that is committed or injustice, let's use the word that is used, injustice that is committed during those 4 months in the sight of Allah are more punishable or more offensive.
Okay.
I hope I'm using a proper English here. Then sinning is haram at any other time.
Of course.
Regardless. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given these certain times a sanctity. Now, a sign of righteousness and piety that you magnify, sanctify what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given a sanctity. It's like you go to Mecca to sin. You know, this is in a way absurd, that this is a very special place in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you go there and you commit a sin. And this is actually what Qatada ibn Da'am al-Sudusi made of a statement, which was, Qatada is one of the students of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said, al-dhulm, any injustice committed in these 4 months is more punishable of a sin in the sight of Allah than any other month, even though injustices in general are unlawful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
So this is why these 4 months are called sacred or hurum. What are those 4 months? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identified them in hadith Abi Bakra radiallahu anhu. The hadith is compiled in both Sahih al-Imam al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Simply is during the farewell Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addressed the companions and he said to them, إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ قَدِ اسْتَدَارَ كَهَيْئَتِهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. This is a very interesting statement.
Okay.
Because that brings another subject, which is called النسيء. What is النسيء? Like I mentioned earlier, because fighting during those 4 sacred months is forbidden, even prior to the final mandate of Islam at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what the Arabs used to do, they used to change the month, exchange the names. So this is Rajab. Okay, we're not going to call it Rajab. We're going to call it Jamada. So we're going to give it a different name so we can fight.
Right, okay. So just playing with terminologies.
Yes, playing with the names of the month so that they would make lawful the unlawful and vice versa.
Okay.
So now Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his farewell sermon is telling his companions that, listen, all that messing around that the Arabs did has ended. Subhanallah, miraculously, today the time is set the way that Allah has started it.
Okay.
So subhanallah, the farewell. So from that time on, you know, all that mixing of names and all of that that the Arabs did to the names of the sacred month in order to make lawful the unlawful and so forth has stopped since that time. إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ قَدْ اسْتَدَارَ كَهِيَّتِي يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And then he mentioned that the year in the sight of Allah is made of 12 months. مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمْ. Out of those 12 months, there are 4 which are sacred. Then he named them. ثلاث المتواليات, 3 of them come in sequence.
Okay.
ذي القعدة وذي الحجة والمحرم. And then he named the month which we're addressing tonight. ورجب مضر.
Okay, so
why did he call it Rajab Mudar? Because the tribe of Mudar was the only tribe who would refuse to exchange the name of Rajab.
Right, okay.
They would stick to Rajab regardless, and they would refrain from fighting. This is why the Prophet ﷺ, because somehow they sanctified the month more than any other tribe. That's why the Prophet ﷺ attributed the month to them. وَرَجَبُ مُضَرْ الَّذِي هُوَ بَيْنَ جَمَادَ وَشَعْبَانَ. Jamada الذي بينه هو جمادة وشعبان, the month that comes between Jamada and Sha'ban. So this is the month which we are talking about.
Okay.
Now, what should we do in this month?
Okay, Sheikh, before we talk about what should we do, I want to ask you as well, the particular prayer that you mentioned, the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to make about Rajab and Sha'ban and then reaching Ramadan, those 3 months, when you see the connection of these 3 months in this particular dua, I get the feeling as if these 2 months are like a preparation for Ramadan. Is that a correct understanding?
The scholars say that Rajab is the month where you place the seed in the ground.
Okay.
Sha'ban is the month when you water that seed.
Okay.
Ramadan is the month when you harvest.
So really, if we want to take benefit of Ramadan, we have to start now.
Yeah. You see, what happened is, a lot of Muslims, they wait until Ramadan is here. So they want to plant the seed, they want to water the tree, and they want to harvest. You end up with a sour, if you do this, you know, if you get a quick harvest, okay. It's very sour.
Right.
And most of the time is very unsuccessful. Very unsuccessful. A lot of people fail Ramadan because of this. Because actually the preparation for Ramadan happens right before Ramadan. And we're talking about those 2 months. Beginning with the month of Rajab, then Sha'ban, okay. Then Ramadan. You see, in Rajab, there is one certain command which the Prophet ﷺ, which the Quran actually indicated, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. In general, in these 4 months, refrain from sinning.
Okay.
So the emphasis in Rajab is to refrain from sinning. So in Rajab, what you should do, you should plant the seed to stay away from the unlawful.
Right, okay.
A lot of Muslims, Brother Junaid, they sometimes just admire and look at acts of worship, acts of obedience. But they don't appreciate so much staying away from the unlawful.
Right.
Actually, the scholars were asked, the ulama were asked, which is better in the sight of Allah? Of course, both of them are mandatory and so forth, but which is better? Is to engage in obedience or to refrain from disobedience? He said to refrain from disobedience.
Right.
Because this is heavier on the self than engaging in obedience. And in Islam in general, dar'ul mafsada, that you block evil, precedes bringing goodness.
Okay.
So you stopping evil during the month of Rajab, this is what is meant by it. Now, the moment that you do this, you have planted a good seed. Now, what you need to do now is to grow that seed in Sha'ban.
Right.
And you need to do some righteous good deeds so that in Ramadan you're prepared and you're ready to go, inshallah.
Okay, excellent. So, Sheikh, if we look at our traditions and our customs, we'll find that there are a number of actions that people do inside of Rajab, and there are certain actions that I think are prohibited, but yet people do them also inside of Rajab. So, if I can begin by clarifying this particular situation and say that the actions that we should do are what I would say is a sunnah. Is that correct to say so?
First of all, Brother Junaid, dear viewers, you know, when we do something, we're hoping that Allah will accept it.
Okay.
You see, it doesn't matter how much you do. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from those who are righteous and pious. But now we were given information about the guidelines for our acts to be accepted.
Okay.
3 main conditions that you must fulfill in order to validate the act and hope for the acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, being a Muslim to begin with. A condition number one, because regardless of what you do, if it is not done on the basis of Tawheed, the foundation of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah is nullified, has no value whatsoever in the scale of Sharia, fi mizan al-shara' wal-deen.
Okay.
Number two is you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerity. Number three, which really answers your question directly, is adherence if the act is ritualistic.
Okay, meaning?
Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already acted and practiced these acts for us. So we must follow his footsteps. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray like you see me pray.
Okay.
He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man tawadda'a nahwa wudu'i hadha. Whoever makes wudu exactly like I'm doing it right now. And he showed them how he made wudu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, khudu anni manasikakum. Take your rituals after me. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived Rajab and lived Sha'ban and lived Ramadan. And he's simply showing us what needs to be done during this month.
Sheikh, I'm going to ask you just to hold your thought there because we have a phone call and then inshallah ta'ala we'll continue with that.
Sure.
So as I understand, we have a phone call. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, inshallah ta'ala. Dear brother, if I can ask you to call us again, I think the line has been disconnected. Please do call us. The phone lines are open. Dear viewers, pick any of those two numbers that are running across your screens and present us with your questions. And the Sheikh is here, so give him any question that you feel fitting. Sheikh, if I could ask you to continue.
So sunnah is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. Sometimes understanding, a certain term, would become better if you try to capture its contrary. What is the contrary of the sunnah? A famous word that people do not like to hear most of the time, bid'ah, 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 bid'ah.
Okay.
What is bid'ah? Bid'ah that you certainly come up with a practice that has never been exercised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you're doing it seeking the pleasure of Allah. Worshipping Allah.
Just to stop you there. So are you saying that the direct opposite of bid'ah is sunnah? Is that right?
Absolutely. Sunnah, but again, when we say the word sunnah, we mean the sunnah, the way of the Prophet.
I'm going to have to stop you again. I think the brother has decided to call us back.
Sure.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are we doing, brother?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, brother, go ahead. Give us your question or your comment.
Okay, I would want to say regarding a position that they want to give me now. I'm working as a manager.
Yeah, keep going, brother.
Yes, I'm working as a manager at a fitness center, but my boss wanted to transfer me to another place to work for him as a manager, and this place is a mini market.
Yeah, go ahead, keep going, brother.
Yeah, and this mini market, it comprises of the different goods that I will be selling, but among them, alcohol is part of it.
Okay.
So, really involved, but I'll be a manager there, so which I am having doubts to accept this offer, even if this will cause me to lose my present work. I don't know what the sale would be advising me to do.
Okay. Is that any other question, or is that it, my brother?
No, this is the only question I have.
Okay, inshallah ta'ala, we thank you for your phone call. And the Sheikh is here, we'll try our best to squeeze that question in the program somewhere. And inshallah ta'ala, we will get there. So thank you very much for your call.
Just to clear this before we go any further, because it's not related to our subject completely.
Could I just repeat the question just for the sake of those who didn't understand? So there is a brother who is working in the market, and he's got a new job in another market, but in that place he has to deal with alcohol. So is that permissible or not permissible?
Selling alcohol is unlawful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith is crystal clear. The curse of Allah is upon a person who sells alcohol. I advise the brother to kindly request from his manager to stay in his fitness center or wherever he is, and do not entertain the job at all. Jazakallahu khairan.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bid'ah is the opposite of a sunnah. Bid'ah is when you introduce an act that has never been tariqatun fil dini, yani mukhtara'a.
Okay.
Is a newly invented practice in the religion that the person does it, seeking the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib.
Right.
Bid'ah, the scholars divided into two categories. Asliya, by origin, it's a bid'ah, never been practiced before. Like, for example, celebrating the birthday of the Prophet. Never been practiced before.
Okay.
This is an original innovation. has no base, simply. The other one, which really more difficult to convince people, is called additional idafiyya. That the act itself, it's praiseworthy. You're talking about fasting. You're talking about tahajjud. You're talking about acts of worship. But you do them at a time when you shouldn't be doing them. Or you're doing them with an intention that you should not have. Just to give you a good grasp of this, Hadith Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, one day Abdullah ibn Umar was sitting down, and someone was sitting down next to him, and he sneezed.
Okay.
The person sneezed. So what should you say when you sneeze? Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
Or you could say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Both of them are authentic. So this person said what? Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah.
Right, okay.
Just for the viewers to grasp what is so difficult about the additional bid'ah. So Abdullah ibn Umar, look how Abdullah ibn Umar responded to him. He said, "Wa ana aqul," and I also say, "Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah." But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never taught us to say it in that particular situation. It's like when you pray and in your ruku' you recite the Quran. Right. What is wrong with reciting the Quran? But not in that position, not in that situation. So the problem with the additional bid'ah, and I think this is where the month of Rajab actually gets a lot of heat,
okay,
because of this. Because all these acts which people do in the month of Rajab are good acts.
Okay.
But the problem is attributing them to the month of Rajab. This is the bid'ah. You're doing them because of the month of Rajab. We need to understand this. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may give a certain time, a certain place, a certain sanctity.
Okay.
But sometimes there is no need to act righteously. Do extra deeds on these days or at these places. There is no need for that. What people do in the month of Rajab, fasting, for example. But again, they tie fasting to Rajab.
Right.
Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, and others, they say there is no one single hadith in the Sunnah, which gives any virtue or merit to fasting in the month of Rajab. Again, I'm not talking about a brother or a sister who fasts Monday and Thursday, or fast 3 days out of the month, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, or scattered days. Or somebody even who fasts the fasting of Dawood. He fasts one day and he breaks, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he breaks fast one day.
Okay.
You can go ahead and do this. There is nothing wrong with that, if this is your intention. But you do not fast because of Rajab, like fasting the first Jum'ah in Rajab, fasting the first Thursday in Rajab. This is called bid'ah idafiyya.
Okay.
Additional bid'ah. How? You see, fasting is good. There is nothing wrong with it. And it's praiseworthy. Whoever fasts one day seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah distances his face 70 years from the hellfire.
Okay.
There is no question about it. But again, you're tying this to Rajab is the bid'ah.
Okay. Sheikh, on that note as well, you mentioned the two types of bid'ah, but there's a third type of bid'ah which you hear people talking about as well. If you could clarify for that, that as well. And they say bid'ah hasana, so a good bid'ah. So maybe somebody is doing these fasting because he thinks it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. What is the response to that?
Okay, this is something in the Sharia called al-istihsan.
Okay.
Okay. There is one fiqh rule which really kills all of this.
Okay.
What does it say? Al-aslu fil ibadati al-hadru illa bidalil. وَالْأَصْلُ فِي الْعَادَةِ الْإِبَاحَ إِلَّا بِدَلِيلٍ. What does this mean? By default, you're banned. You're not allowed to perform any act of worship unless you have an evidence.
Okay.
You're getting that?
I'm with you.
And by default, all habits, all customs are lawful unless you have an evidence to stop it.
Okay.
So the device, they go against head to head. So let's come to ibadah. Because this is really the argument that a lot of people do have with us.
Okay.
When you go and tell them you cannot do this. Brother, you're asking me not to fast, brother. You're asking me not to do Salat al-Raghaib, brother. You're asking me not to do Umrah, brother? What is your evidence, brother, that comes in?
And also,
they ask you for the evidence.
Sure.
No. You are the one who has to produce the evidence to do this act, not me.
And also, Sheikh, on that note, when you talked about the issues of worship, there has to be an evidence behind it. And those who
right.
criticize these actions as being bidah, one of the things that they bring forward, and I want to get your response on that as well, is they use the story of Umar and the story of the Taraweeh. And they say that...
I'm going to come to that Sunnah Hasana thing. But I just want to furnish here the foundation first. But
sure,
I'm
going to
come... They normally use two evidence. Hadith man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana.
That's right.
Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali fi Sahih Imam Muslim.
That's right.
And also the story of Umar and at-Tarawih. Those are, you know, famous evidences which they use. But I wanna get the viewers to understand this.
Sure, go ahead.
You see, if somebody celebrates the Mawlid al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Mawlid, the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you go and tell them you shouldn't be doing this. Normally, they ask you to produce an evidence for them not to do it.
Okay.
That's not how it goes. You produce an evidence to do it because you're the one who is initiating an act of worship.
Okay.
So you're supposed to produce the evidence. So we're clear on this.
Right.
So now let's come back to the issue of bid'ah hasana and sunnah hasana. There is no such a thing in Islam. Let's deal with the hadith. Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
sure.
Hadith Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. Look at the story of this hadith and you tell me what this has to do with the bid'ah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa one day was sitting in the masjid and a group of Muslims arrived coming from the desert, mujtabin nimar.
Right.
Their clothes are torn. They looked that they are hungry, they are really desperately in need of help. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Bilal to call the adhan, make the iqama. He led the salah and he stood and he encouraged the Muslims. And it seems like the time was a tough time. He fundraised for them. He encouraged the Muslims to give for those individuals. So it seems like the Muslims were reluctant because, you know, it was a tough time
okay.
for them. But one man from Al-Ansar went home. He grabbed his blanket and he grabbed every item he has in his house and he carried it in his back and he brought it in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a sadaqah. The moment that the companions saw this sahabi doing this, each one of them stood and did the same thing. I want to ask you a question right now.
Sure.
Did this sahabi invent the act of charity in Islam?
No, of course not.
No. The act of charity is already established. But what did he do? He resurrected the act and he encouraged others to follow him.
Okay.
This is what is meant by man sanna fil islami sunnah. It's like exactly the beard.
It's reviving something.
Reviving something.
Okay.
Exactly like in a village or in a town, there is zero bearded man.
Okay.
And someone starts a beard with the intention of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnah means a command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every man in the village would follow him. This is what is meant by sunnah fil islami sunnah. Something that is already established in the religion. Now the statement which Umar ibn al-Khattab used is the linguistic meaning of the word bid'ah. But we ask the question, what is the story? Simply, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was so busy with apostate, Harb al-Ridda, and bringing back the internal affair of the Muslims to rest and so forth. So he didn't really have a lot of time to cater for these rituals and so forth. But Umar walked into the masjid in Ramadan and he saw groups of Muslims praying individually,
okay.
Taraweeh. So he decided to bring one of the Sahabi, Ubay, I believe his name is, I forgot his name, the one who prayed janazah on him. Ubay ibn Ka'b actually. He brought Ubay ibn Ka'b and led the Muslims in Taraweeh.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw this, he saw the Muslims united behind one Imam, he made the statement, ni'mat al-bid'ah hadihi.
Yeah.
What a good bid'ah this is. Now we come to the same question. Did the Prophet ﷺ pray Taraweeh or not? He prayed Taraweeh in the masjid, leading the Muslims. In one narration, two nights, another narration, three nights. Hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu fi Sahih al-Bukhari. There is no question about it. And we know why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refrained from continuing this, because he was afraid that this would become mandatory upon the Muslims. Now, with the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the revelation stopped.
Okay.
So the reason is already gone. The excuse is already gone. So Umar, what did he do? He revived a sunnah that was established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So okay. There is no such a thing.
Okay. So he didn't come with something himself.
No. No.
Okay, Sheikh, on that, so we've clarified what is the Sunnah, we've clarified what is Bidah, we've also talked about the virtues of this month. Let's get into some of the details and talk about some of the Bidahs themselves. Mm-hmm. One of the actions that one would classify as being a Bidah, which would, obviously you could clarify for us, is, like you mentioned, Salat al-Raghaib. What is this prayer, what is its origin, and what is the ruling of it?
Salat al-Raghaib is a Salah which people pray, especially the first Jum'ah of the month of Rajab. So basically last Jum'ah.
Okay.
And it's between Maghrib and Isha. This Salah was introduced for the 4th century, towards the end of the 4th century, after the Hijri, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you tell me, where did you get this from? It's like the Mawlid. When the Mawlid, really, when people started celebrating the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ.
Okay.
Centuries later, initiated centuries later. So now, certainly has no origin whatsoever in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ.
Okay.
And anybody who simply promotes it, anybody like, you know, you're promoting a bid'ah.
Right.
And this is, by the way, do not wrong yourselves during these sacred month. You see, do not wrong yourselves by committing shirk. Do not wrong yourselves by committing disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, do not wrong yourselves by committing an act of innovation. You shouldn't be doing that. That actually is included in there.
So the first one is the Salat al-Raghaib. Secondly, Sheikh, some people will claim that the Prophet ﷺ was born on the first of this month of Rajab. Is that correct, or is that another fallacy?
You answered it. It's a hearsay kind of heretic statement, really. The Prophet ﷺ was born on a Monday, the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, ala asah al-Aqwal. Rajab, subhanallah, maybe they need to debate with one another, those who celebrate the birthday of the Prophet.
They can have two birthdays in one year.
Yes.
Okay, Sheikh.
Very interesting.
Sheikh, what about some of the people who claim that on the 27th or the 25th night was the night that the Prophet ﷺ received a Nabuwa, revelation? Is this correct? And if so, or if not, what should we do about it?
I'm aware of Laylat al-Isra wal-Mi'raj on that night, but receiving the Nubuwa is something that I,
Okay, let's talk about the Isra wal-Mi'raj. Is that the case?
Well, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj is an event that happened.
Okay.
It actually happened. So we were not denying al-Isra, the journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. We're not denying al-Mi'raj. But you saying that the event of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj took place on the 27th of Rajab, there is no single evidence in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that even fabricated one. What about this? Even a made one, made up one. There is nothing. Simply, the scholars, and this is the statement of Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says these are statements which were made by al-qassasin, the storytellers.
Okay.
People who would tell story in order to excite people so they can get some money at the end.
So businessmen.
Businessmen, basically. And they're using the religion to do so. Not only this, actually doing an act of worship on the night of the 27th, believing of a certain virtue. Again, Brother Junaid, I hope the viewers do not, get the impression that we're stopping people from doing righteous deeds here. No, we're asking them to fulfill Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Okay.
You know, there is nothing wrong with doing these acts. Siyam, giving sadaqah, praying tahajjud, in regular basis and with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't tie to these dates, don't tie to these events, because this is what we call a bid'ah.
Okay, Sheikh, what about another type of action that's done in the middle of Rajab, and it's known as Salah Dawood? What is this?
مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ.
Okay.
Show me state. You know, that's a statement that, you know, that's what they write in the license plate in Missouri. Show me state. You know, show me state.
Show me the evidence.
Yeah. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Okay. Bring out your evidence if you're truthful. Unfortunately, you know, in the absence of knowledge, people do a lot of things. And this, you know, brings this unity. You know, اتَّبِعْ وَلَا تَبْتَدَعْ. You know, that this is a statement which was made by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh. You know, follow the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not introduce any act of worship into the religion. Because the moment that you do this, you're simply causing a lot of disunity in the ummah. Add to this, normally an act of innovation comes at the expense of, you know, a sunnah somehow here and there.
And I want to mention one other act that's done very common in Rajab, and then I want to move on from that subject onto something a little bit more positive. In the month of Rajab, I think this is very common in many of our cultures across the world, that we tend to go and visit the graves. Mm. Is that something also which is an innovation, or is that permissible?
Well, again, you know, visiting the graves with the intention of Rajab and the intention of benefiting the deceased is simply unspoken of. We visit the grave because of us. The Prophet ﷺ explained this in a beautiful hadith. He says, كُنْتُ قَدْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ أَلَا فَزُورُوهَا. He says, indeed, I have previously banned you from visiting the graves. Now I'm giving you a permission to visit the grave. Why, Ya Rasulullah? فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِالْمَوْتِ. Because it will remind the living with of death. You know, it will remind you and me when I go out there and stand on a grave of someone, maybe you spoke with and you ate with and you walked with, and he's no longer belonging to this world. This is a reflection, you know, this is a moment of reflection that your fate is the same one, is because كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةِ الْمَوْتِ. The point I'm trying to make here is we can benefit the deceased wherever we are, whenever we are. It doesn't have to be Rajab, and it doesn't have to be at the grave site. Mm-hmm. But simply tying again a virtue or a merit to Rajab, pertaining to the visitation of the grave, is something that has no basis whatsoever in the Sharia.
Okay, Sheikh. So let's put all of these actions to a side and let's come to a...
Can I just make one last statement?
Sure, go on. Go ahead.
Just for the brothers and the sisters who may find what we're saying harsh on them. Because we need to also realize the cycle of these brothers. A lot of them were brought up in this culture, you know, in that hearsay religion, that they never really verified their acts. And so we say this because we care. You know, and we value your love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah, and you should be an advocate for his way, for his sunnah. In no way we're trying to, you know, to be negative and give them a hard time and ridicule them and make fun of them. And I hope this is not the impression that I'm giving out there, but I just want to let them hear one statement.
Sure, go ahead.
Which was made by Imam Malik, rahimahullah, Malik ibn Anas, one of the four Imams. You know what he said? He said, whoever introduces an act into this religion and he admires it and he likes it, doing it, he's claiming that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has betrayed his messengership. فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ خَانَ الرِّسَلَةِ. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood on the top of the mountain in Arafat, and he recited this verse to his companions. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نَعْمَتِي. Today I completed the revelation for you.
Right, okay.
The religion is complete. You cannot cut, you cannot delete, you cannot paste. You cannot copy. It's done. The religion is there to take and practice. Now, if you want to promote the way of the Prophet ﷺ, that's what you should do. This is what you should do. But you engaging in an act that is innovative in the religion, you're really making that terrible statement, and we wouldn't like this for you at all.
Okay, so Sheikh, now everybody, I would assume everybody now is very eager to get ready and prepare themselves for Ramadan, just like in the beginning we started off with a very beautiful dua of the Prophet ﷺ. So what sunan, or actions of the Prophet, that can we do that will really prepare us for this blessed month, starting from today?
Subhanallah, Rajab, I tell the brothers this. Rajab is the month that you actually exercise refraining from sinning.
Okay.
That's the beginning.
Right.
You see, look at our kalima, tawheed. La ilaha. Negation, then what? Affirmation. You remove. You know when you want to plant a nice tree, apple tree. You like apple, I know that. Apple tree, American apples.
American apples, the big ones.
Hey, the big ones, here you go. What do? You go to your backyard, and what do? You look for the most fertile piece of land. And what else do? You go out there and you clean what?
You make the soil ready.
You clean everything that may affect the seed.
Okay.
That's right there. That's what you should do in Rajab. Clean. You know, Ibn al-Qayyim, he was asked, which is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Making istighfar, saying astaghfirullah,
okay,
or the recitation of the Quran. You know what he said as an answer? الثوب المتسخ, the stained, dirty garment is in need of water than the musk. He's basically saying istighfar.
Istighfar first.
First. To clean what?
Okay, so the Quran can take its real effect.
You see, the Quran is a musk. The Quran is an ornament. The Quran is an addition. The Quran is a positive. But what you need to do is you need to remove what? The bad out.
Okay.
So in the month of Rajab, exercise what? Refraining from ma'asi. Refraining from sins. Refraining from backbiting. Get already what? Exercising this. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong yourself in the month of Rajab. Wronging yourself meaning that you committing shirk, okay, whether major or minor, or wronging others, committing injustices against others, or committing a sin in secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need to refrain from those three. This is what you should do in Rajab. Add to this, if you're used to doing acts of worship during the month of any other month, and you want to do them in Rajab, go ahead and do them. If you want to fast Mondays and Thursdays, go ahead and fast Mondays and Thursdays with the intention of Mondays and Thursdays. If you want to do the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, the 3 days, or even scatter days, go ahead and do this. There is no, if you want to pray tahajjud every night, go ahead and do this. But don't tie to Rajab. Don't say that I'm doing this because of Rajab, because that's a bid'ah. But you could do all these acts of worship. In a way.
And Sheikh, we're coming towards the end of the program, and I want to
That fast.
Yeah, mashallah.
I didn't even feel it. What's going on here?
Time goes fast and you enjoy yourself.
Inshallah.
But Sheikh, I want to conclude on the note of the Quran. And I want you to give us some words of enthusiasm and positivity on how we can approach the Quran, because everybody in Ramadan wants to finish the Quran or understand it better. And unfortunately, many of us, when we're standing behind the imams like yourself, and the imams and the people in the front row are crying, our hearts, or many of the people, they don't understand what's going on. I want to cry as well. Should we do?
I'll give you the statement of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And he's a lover of the Quran. He's someone who memorized the Quran. We know that he was assassinated while he was reciting the Quran. You know what he said? لَوْ طَهُرَتْ قُلُوبُنَا مَا شَبِعَتْ مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا. If our hearts are cleansed, it will not have enough of the Quran. So again, focus on that side in Rajab. You know, cleanse, a lot of istighfar, come out of the sins, get away from the bad area. And we forgot to mention something, and I hope the time allows.
Sure.
Sha'ban is the month where you water now.
Okay.
The seed that you planted.
Okay.
How? Fasting. And this is actually one of the most fascinating things that the Prophet ﷺ said. Hadith Usama ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhuma, al-hib ibn al-hib, compiled in Sunan al-Tirmidhi wa al-Nasa'i bi sanadin sahih. Usama said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, I see you fast a lot in Sha'ban. How come? He said, this is a month the people are heedless about its virtue.
Okay.
Now a lot of the scholars, they say, because a lot of the people got engaged falsely in giving sanctity to Rajab, unnecessary. Because we need to understand that this is carried out from Jahiliyyah, from the past. Rajab, that's, you know, the people in Jahiliyyah used to do this. So here you are working so hard in Rajab, trying to do a lot in Rajab, thinking that this is, and this is where the Prophet ﷺ is saying is Sha'ban is a month a lot of people do not pay attention to. And this is a month in which our deeds are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I love for my deeds to be raised, to presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I'm fasting. So right. Sha'ban is the month when you water that seed.
Okay.
Then you harvest in Ramadan. Then you can close your show right now.
Inshallah. You are the presenter and the guest at the same time.
No, I'm trying to help you.
No, thank you very much, Sheikh. I really enjoy the programs with yourself. Very informative and at the same time, very real. So I'd like to thank you very much for coming and giving us your time. I know you come from very far away. So I'd like to thank
it's
you.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Make dua.
Inshallah ta'ala. So I'd like to conclude, Sheikh, by saying to yourself, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much. Dear viewers, we've come to the end of the first segment. What a beautiful discussion talking about the holy month of Rajab. We went up and down, left and right. We talked about everything, mashallah. The sunan as well as the bid'ah. And I think there's the matter of the bid'ah, the definition of it is very clear now after the Sheikh's definition there. And we understand we've got 3 months to prepare for Ramadan. In the first month, we have the month of planting the seed, like the Sheikh said. So let's get started with that, cleaning away any kind of dirt and then watering it in the following month. And then you can enjoy the fruits of your plant in the month of Ramadan. Not just that, but dear viewers, I would like to conclude and remind you that we must check ourselves, we must put ourselves in the correct position so that we can clean. How will you know what to purify if you don't know what are your mistakes? So on that note, brothers and sisters, let's check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. On that note, inshallah ta'ala, I'll take a very short break and then I will join you in segment number 3 talking about some of the signs of the hypocrites. Assalamu alaikum.